This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
What's up, liberty-loving friends? This is Nate Thurston, Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network. Our co-host Charlie is going to be here eventually, I promise you. We're going to keep talking about capitalism, and I'm going to have the Steve Forbes interview in this segment. I tell you what. Now, continuing on from the last segment, I wanted to talk about this one thing here. We were talking about the share of Americans that are older versus the share of Americans that are younger, and the share of Americans that are older is higher now. And people who are older typically make more money. And so when you look at the share of income going to, say, the top quintile versus the bottom quintile, it would not be hard to understand that as the share of the population is getting older, a larger share of the income is also in the top quintile because people who are older typically make more money, as we were talking about. Another thing you have to be careful of when people are talking about these stats, as they will like to use household income statistics. Household income. What do they likely not tell you? They likely are not going to tell you how many people are in the household. That's a big one, just so you know. If you're going to use household income, it's important to know how many people are in the household. Well, this is an interesting one. A record share of Americans are living alone. Record share living alone right now. Single-person households have more than tripled since 1940. And so we were just talking about this study and what's happened. Now, when you look at household income statistics and you see the fact that, people will like to say that household incomes have been stagnant. Household incomes have stagnated. Well, I also think it's very important to note that the amount of people living in a household has decreased during that time as well. Let me give you an example of how household income can go down when you make more money. Let's say there are two people living in a house together. They're roommates sharing the house. And they're both making 20 grand a year. Can't really afford to pay for the house on their own. They're both making 20. They both get good, better paying jobs or good raises, like a really good raise, like 50% raise. Let's say their income goes from 20 to 30, both of them. Well, now their household income just went from 40 up to 60. That's great, isn't it? But now, guess what? They didn't really like being roommates. They were just doing it because they couldn't afford it on 20 grand a year, but they can't afford it on 30. And so they decide that they're not going to be roommates anymore. They're going to get their own places, their own apartments, and live separately. Now, you just took one household that had 40,000 before the raise, had 40,000 in household income. Their household income went up by 50%. And what did you come out with afterwards? You had household income going down to 30,000 because they decided that they weren't going to live together anymore. And now instead of 40K between the two of them, they're each only making 30. And even though both of their incomes went up by 50%, household income just decreased by 25% if you were to look at it on a chart. That is how stupid household income statistics are. And that's how dumb most of these statistics are, just so you know. You can use them to tell you anything that you want. The age one is very important. You want to know another important thing? Now, we're carrying on from this article that had to do with, it had to do with $50 trillion being stolen from the working people by the top 1%. And if things would have remained constant, if even inequality would have remained constant since the 1970s, then people would be making so much more money. And these top 1%ers have stolen the fruits of your labor. They have stolen $50 trillion from you, and we would have all had better lives. But unfortunately, we cannot. You know what else happened since the time that they talk about in that study, 1975? The U.S. government spent, not adjusted for inflation, $113 trillion. And as Milton Friedman would say, the true tax is what the government spends, not what it takes in. I know that that's a tax, but they will pay for it one way or another, meaning the true tax on the people is what they spend. They're going to pay for it either through taxation or through borrowing or through inflation, through money printing. All right, so it's going to get paid for. Well, they spent over twice as much, not adjusted for inflation, since 1975. Did they steal the fruits of our labor? Old Time Magazine, which is the article we were reading beforehand? Yes, the answer is yes, they absolutely did. What would our economy look like otherwise? Now, of course, they would tell you, well, there would be no schools, and there would be no roads, and there would be no air, and there would be no water, and there would only be suffering and death and despair. And that's essentially what it would look like. We don't believe that. We just think that there should be more voluntary means of governance, because that's how they would actually get the amount of money they were worth and not just steal it from you with guns. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it can be tough to know which direction to take in life. For example, you might think doing this podcast was an easy move, but it wasn't. It takes a willingness to work crazy hours, read people's differing opinions, and make, well, what you might expect a mid-level libertarian podcast to make. What gets me through is knowing I'm being true to myself and my values. So whether you're dealing with decisions around career, relationships, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Therapy made a huge difference in my life, and co-host Charlie's used BetterHelp for years. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GML today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GML. All right, so we're going to go on to another thing here. In the study that we were talking about before the break, they use 1975 as a time that they're going to start measuring how this inequality happened. Well, isn't that a weird time for them to pick? Why didn't they pick 1985 or 1965 or 55? It's kind of weird. They picked 1975. It reminded me of this website. It's called WTF Happened in 1971, I think is the website, .com. You check that out. Now, I don't agree with all of the implications people draw from this. Inferences. I don't remember which one it is. I'm sorry. You can get mad at me for that if you want to. Someone tell me, nate@goodmorningliberty.us, which one I should use in that specific moment. I will definitely read the email and respond accordingly. But in 1971, Nixon officially axed the gold standard. We had something in the early 1970s known as the Nixon shock, where we had essentially removal from the gold standard, and the Fed was just given free rein, just print stuff. Come on, just go. And then we also froze wages and had price controls at the same time. Now, if you remember in that previous discussion, here's one interesting thing I forgot to mention. We had the price controls and the wage controls. We know that in the 40s, from FDR, we got more people offering benefits, more employers offering benefits because of wage controls. They needed to find a way to be competitive. And then we also had this again in the 70s. This income distribution that they mention does not count your compensation. For instance, if you are provided with, if your employer pays towards your health care, your health insurance, anything like that, any of your other compensation, they don't count that in the study, which is great, just for them if they want to make bad points. But when you look at charts and graphs, you can always see the specific point that things changed, and it's right around 71, 72, 73. Right in this time. And if you're watching on YouTube, go to BernieLies.com, find the button. You can just see in 1971, the lines, all these charts, they just go nuts. All right. And it just continues to happen. You see 1971 and the chart just goes nuts. And that's also the study that we talked about previously decided they were going to talk about They were going to start their data set in 1975, fully after the Nixon shock and the wage and price controls and the health care as a benefit to help with your wages, things like that. Yeah, I think they picked that year for a reason. I'll just say that. All right, let's move on through here. There's a study in here. No, we went through the study. I want to go through this meme. Yeah, I want to look at this meme. Then we'll do the Steve Forbes interview after that. Here's a meme from Stop Cop City. Stop Cop City. They say fat. What does it say? It's a the Simpson meme. Don't make me tap the sign. You know, the bus driver. Sorry, I don't know all the names of everyone on The Simpsons. I'm going to call this guy Yellow Bus Driver. Says, don't make me tap the sign. The sign says, there is no such thing as a good billionaire. Regardless of what anyone tells you, there was, is, and always will be no ethical way to make that much money. And I say to that, no, that is not the truth. I say there's no such thing as a good billionaire, and there's no ethical way to make that much money. I want to address one common misconception here, which is that billionaires have made that much money. First off, and I mean almost all of them, the billionaires have that much money because of the ownership of their companies. They have it in stock. And a good example I always give you is that Elon Musk was a multi-billionaire, not just from PayPal and whatever else, but he was worth billions of dollars because of Tesla at a time when Tesla had never profited any money. They were only losing money. And he was still worth billions of dollars because people were valuing Tesla at however many billions of dollars they wanted to value that. And so what does that mean? Does that mean he became a billionaire by stealing from his workers? No, that actually means his workers were being paid even when the product of their labor, the value of their labor, was not profitable. It was not actually making any money. The company was losing money. And so they were being paid more than what they were technically producing at that time. Were people upset about that fact? I doubt it. I highly doubt that they were upset about that. In fact, I don't remember anyone being mad. But what they did get mad about is when the company started to be profitable and the value of it started to increase rapidly. And then he was worth so many more billions. But he was worth the billions before they made money. How did that happen? It's because it was just a portion of the ownership of the company, not from money that he stole from people. People gave him that money as an investment. They had their money that they had saved or they had for retirement or whatever, and they said, I want you to make more money from my money so I can retire even happier. And so that's one way that Elon Musk became even wealthier, or investors handing over their money to his companies. What about all the people who created such great things, things that make our lives better on a daily basis, and they became billionaires? Is it not? It's not ethical to ever make that money. Let's say that you think the COVID vaccine is the greatest thing and greatest modern miracle of scientific history that you've ever seen, man. How many lives do you think it saved? Millions? Hundreds of millions of lives? Would you say you think the COVID vaccine saved? And perhaps it did. Is the company that made that, should they have made $1 billion? Off of saving hundreds of millions of people? You would say no. There's no ethical way to make that money. Saving hundreds of millions of lives is not an ethical way to make that money. Well, that's kind of a devaluation of human beings, isn't it? It turns out there's a lot of great people throughout history that have created so many great things and great products that have changed our lives. And they became wealthy. Some of them lost it all. Some of them became wealthy again. But they changed everything for the better. They changed everything for the better. And that's the beauty of free market capitalism. A true, true free market capitalism. Which is, you get rich by helping other people. by creating the way that they would want to turn over their money to you because they value what you're giving them more than they value their money. And but let's talk to the one and only. Who's the guy you want to talk to about this? I want to talk to the one and only Steve Forbes about capitalism. We caught up with him at Freedom Fest. Here we go. I am currently sitting down with the one and only Steve Forbes. Steve, thank you for being here.
Nate, good to be with you. Thank you.
So I wanted to talk to you about this new thing, Steve Forbes on Achievement, and this partnership with IsIt.org. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
What it is a series of short biographies, three and a half minutes, on people who helped create the world we live in today, what it took to do it, the amazing backgrounds, the obstacles they overcame, free market lesson in terms of what kind of society you need, what kind of environment that makes these achievements possible. And whether it's a George Eastman, who took a very laborious process of photography in the late 1880s, 1890s, and came up with cameras that everyone could use, turning something that was a rarity into a commonplace, turning scarcity into abundance. Malcolm McLean, who created seemingly something simple, what they call the box, the container ship, that enabled trade to grow, cut costs by 95% when he had that technology developed. Fierce resistance, unions resistance, ports resisted it. Finally came in, cut costs by more than 95% in terms of shipping. Or Annie Malone, who prospered at a time when women weren't allowed to vote. She was African-American, another obstacle. She created an empire of hair care products for African-American women and other devices. And she, at the height, had 75,000 agents selling here and around the world. And the lesson there is she not only did well, but her agents did well, and those who bought the products did well. And that's the amazing thing about free markets. Everyone benefits with that kind of openness and creativity.
Now, as I'm hearing about this, all of that you just said were things that I did not learn in school when I went to school. And as I understand, this is actually going to be used by some teachers.
That's right. It's for educators and for kids and for everyone else. And it's done through stories. People want to know what happened when you show them, ask them. Present it to them. How did they do it? What were the obstacles? Life never goes in a straight direction. I mentioned Malcolm McLean. Created this container ship revolution, sold his company, dabbled in real estate and some other things, then decided to get back into the business, raised a lot of money from prestigious investors, overexpanded, his timing was off, and he went broke. So success is not, one success doesn't mean you're going to always have success. But like a good entrepreneur, he went back at it, was working on a third company at the age of 87 when he died. On the day of his funeral, the container ships all around the world stopped and tooted their horns in honor of the man who made their existence possible.
Now, these days, when we talk about those entrepreneurs, a lot of times it has a negative connotation to it. That's the way you hear, especially people who have gained a lot of wealth, created a lot of wealth over that time. So why is this so important for people?
It's important to realize that free markets are about free people, entrepreneurs creating things that improve our lives. And the fact that it's so open, we're working on our second season, producing that. One of the people is Margaret Rudkin, Pepperidge Farm. How did that come about in the 20s and 30s? She had a son who had serious illnesses and couldn't eat processed bread. And so she decided to see if she could create a bread that her son could eat. And she said the first loaf was like the Stone Age, but she came up with whole wheat bread in response to the need of her son. Doctors began to prescribe it, became more popular. Then she went to Belgium after the war and got the chocolate formulas that enabled us to have all those wonderful cookies, Milano and others. Goldfish, she got that idea from her travels to Switzerland. So creating this Pepperidge Farm, who would have thought that a woman who had a sick son would end up creating this wonderful empire of products that people liked?
see stories like that where we seem to be making it harder and harder for people to build those businesses and create those products, and we don't know what doesn't get created.
Well, that is a very important point. What you don't see, you don't miss. And, for example, do a little mind exercise. Imagine bringing somebody back from the dead 40 years ago and try to describe the Internet. You could not do it. They would be absolutely flummoxed. What in the world are you talking about? So if it was never invented, no... wouldn't have missed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things we hope people take away. Make it possible for these great figures. We're here in Tennessee and in Memphis. This is where the supermarket was invented. We just did a shoot of a fellow named Clarence Saunders. Over 120 years ago, when you went to the store to buy something, you went, all the products were behind the counter. You gave a clerk a list of what you wanted. The clerk would amble over. You might negotiate prices. It was a laborious, labor-intensive process. He was a salesman, wholesaler, and he said, this can be done better. Why do we have all these clerks? People, when they come to a store, know what they want. And so he invented a supermarket where you would go through a turnstile. All the products would be open on the shelves. Prices would be all stated there. You could pick what you want. It increased impulse buying because you didn't have to go through somebody, a third party. You could do it directly. And so he could offer lower prices. And what this lesson is, among other things making life easier, was that it was about trust. Markets are about trust. You go to a restaurant. The restaurant trusts that you'll pay after you have the meal. He trusted that you weren't going to, and there's sadly in the environment we live in today, there's a lot of pilferage, but he decided he was going to trust the customer. Even though the product wasn't protected behind the counter, it was on the shelf.
Wow.
And so these kind of stories, I think, will give people, especially younger people, an appreciation without preaching to them of what freedom and the ability to try things can lead to.
And so they can build that appreciation without it being... preach to them and,
yes,
and in a divisive
too,
way.
Yes, it's too abstract when you talk. What are you talking about? But a story like that, a story like Mark and Rudkin, Annie Malone, yeah, that they can get. Annie Malone, very little education, but was interested in chemistry, interested in coming up with things. And that's the kind of thing that strikes chords with people. Yeah, okay.
That's great. Now, all these videos, you can find them on isit.org, right?
isit.org/Forbes. isit.org/Forbes. And we have the first season up. We're in the midst of shooting our second season. And, again, people like stories, and stories have lessons. And that's what makes this so exciting.
And a big thanks to Steve Forge for sitting down with us. We'll be back after the break. Don't go anywhere.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Today expected to be another day investigators comb through the belongings of suspected Long Island serial killer Rex Huerman. New York State Police say they will not reveal the investigator behind uncovering Huerman's connection to the case.
There are currently important investigative steps that are continuing and ongoing, and it would be premature on my part for me to identify any of the New York State Police members or any of the task force members at this point.
Former President Obama applauding librarians for standing on the front lines against book bans. Obama slammed recent censorship attempts on books that discuss topics like gender, sexuality, or race. The Powerball jackpot standing at $1 billion after there was no grand prize winner in Monday night's big drawing. Corey Myers, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Chuck. I'm Nate Thurston. We're going to be talking to Spike Cohen in this segment. Spike was the vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party in 2020. He's also he's now running something called You Are the Power. It's one of the cooler things I've seen. He's also been cutting some viral clips out there for people. He might have even got one for us in this interview. We'll see. But essentially, it's highlighting how important it is for us to be active on local levels. And in fact, a lot of our local cities, especially mid-level, smaller cities, they're not used to people being active. And they're highly receptive to it. And you get someone like Spike on your side in one of these things, one of these instances, you can really make some changes out there. That really is how our government is set up, how the country is set up. During COVID, we found out how important it was to have good local governments or to be in the right state at the right time. I've often told people that I live outside of Nashville, Tennessee. I technically live in Davidson County, but I actually go to Mount Juliet, which is in Wilson County, I believe, for most of my things, my grocery shopping or going out to eat or whatever. And during COVID, even my wife and I's favorite restaurant never closed down, and they never told anyone to wear masks. And we technically live in Davidson, Nashville Metro County, and we didn't really have to worry about wear a mask when we went around the places. Our state was okay on it. They weren't perfect. They were better than a lot of them, not as good as some. But if the time through the COVID pandemic showed us anything, it's that we all need to be more involved on a local level. It's really difficult to make change on a national level. I mean, there's so many people. There's a lot of people out there. It's tough to get an entire movement together for something, especially if the something is good and just. You know, it's really tough to get that movement together. But on a local level, when someone's doing the things that Spike's talking about in this interview, you think of something going on in your town, even your HOA. Man, I got a tyrannical HOA. You know, we all know the jokes about the HOA, and you got your Karen that's running the HOA or whatever it is that you want to call her. Man, every HOA's got those things. But isn't it so much easier to talk to those people, make those changes at your HOA? It is. It's much easier. And so why don't we all do ourselves a favor and get more involved in local politics? We love Spike. Spike gets us going every time. He's one of my favorites, if not my favorite person in the Liberty movement. I'll have to think on that. I don't know, Spike. We'll see. But he's great. He's a great guest every single time we've had him on. So let's talk to Spike real quick. Spike, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
All right. And Spike, we've had you on a few times now, and I don't recall us spending a good amount of time talking about You Are the Power.
Yeah.
But I've been following what you guys are doing. I wanted you to tell people about that if they don't know what that is, and then maybe tell us about a story you guys are highlighting right now or
sure.
The kind of stories you highlight.
Yeah, so You Are the Power. I realized that we had, I guess, three main problems in the Liberty movement. And I speak very broadly when I talk about the Liberty movement. I mean everything from, you know, anarcho-capitalists, Libertarian Party members, Liberty-leaning people that may consider themselves progressives, conservatives, people who just recognize the status quo is failing them and they want to be more free. But in this movement, we have a problem where we don't really have a good solid blueprint for how to bring people into the movement. We talk a lot about making liberty win and growing the movement, but there aren't a lot of really good blueprints for that. There's a lot of good ideas, but no one actually has an A through Z plan. And that leads to a lot of infighting and a lot of frustration and so forth. The other problem is the general public either doesn't really know much about us, or they have a really skewed perception of us, and they think our ideas might or might not sound good, but they can't demonstrate it in practice, or they don't think it's been demonstrated in practice. And then the third glaring problem from that is that people are increasingly suffering under a worsening status quo. Well, how do we address all three of those things? Well, we started with the people who are suffering. And so what we did with You Are the Power is we find people who are being harmed by their local governments, and I can give you a couple examples of that, but they're being harmed by their local governments, and they have no, they don't know how to actually try to get justice for themselves. They might just be showing up to city council meetings and saying, please stop doing this to me, but they don't know how to effectively fight it. And so we help them and their local communities to organize around that cause and to fight for justice and for accountability. And then we also invite the people that are doing that to join us on other causes and help them learn about the principles behind liberty and why not only they agree with us on this cause, but on every other cause we're working on. So we kind of make them accidentally libertarian, or we kind of, you know, here's a cause, oops, now you're libertarian, and it's been working incredibly.
So give us an example.
Sure. So the one we've been working on, one of the ones we've been working on most recently, is we're back to Gastonia, North Carolina. And I say that because we've been there a few times. They have a really terrible city council there and a really deeply ingrained corruption there. The most recent one is that there is a pastor there named Moses Colbert, and he has a church called Faith, Hope, and Love. And he and his congregants have been feeding and providing shelter and basic needs to basic services to homeless people in and around Gastonia for the better part of 20 years now, to the point where there are people that were some of the original residents there at Faith, Hope, and Love who now are congregants who have their own homes and their own careers, and they were able to get clean and they were able to get educations because of the work that Pastor Moses and his congregation do. Problem is, the city council wants a homelessness crisis, and you can't have a homelessness crisis when the people are coming together and voluntarily helping people get back on their feet. So unlike most of the other towns in and around the Charlotte, North Carolina area, they don't really have a bunch of people living on the streets. They don't have a bunch of overdoses and suicides on the streets. They don't have a lot of street crime happening from people trying to get their next fix. They don't have any of that, but they want it because that's how you get federal money to fix the problem. And so what they did was they shut them down last year. We fought back and they allowed them to reopen. And now their plan is not just to shut them down, but to completely steal his church, to seize the property it's on, and to kick everyone out on the street. We're looking at about 125 people that are living on and in the property there who are doing just fine, but they want them back out on the street.
How are they framing this? I doubt they're saying that they want the homelessness crisis.
No, no,
so what's their reasoning that they're using to sell to the people?
They're saying that you know, that there are some infractions happening there. And the, so far, the only infraction we've seen is that one of the trailers that we brought to the property that is eventually going to be used for counseling and substance abuse counseling and things like that, but isn't currently being used, doesn't have a wheelchair accessible ramp yet. That's the only thing we can find so far. There was another thing about that there was some litter on the property, but the problem with that ordinance is that it's private property, and it's not even visible to the street. So they're going to fine him because he had, because they've cleaned it up now, a pile about this big of, like, cans and bottles on his private property, not in the view of anyone else. And they're saying, well, this is all very unsafe. Much more unsafe, of course, than kicking them out on the streets and making them live on the streets and in the woods behind where everyone lives and, you know, dying of overdose and suicide.
Well,
and
the woods are very, they're known for being very handicap accessible.
Yes,
so,
yes. As are the sidewalks.
So many ramps, so many ramps in the woods.
It's just lousy with ramps out in the forest there. And, so they're playing this angle of saying, you know, this is very unsafe. You know, that's a lot of people to be on a property. Yeah, it's also a lot of people to have no other option. And so we've been showing up to their city council meetings. Each time we have more and more people there. The most recent one we had a couple weeks ago, and it was other pastors and congregations from other churches that have now been working with Pastor Moses and Faith, Hope, and Love, as well as a few dozen of the residents there at Faith, Hope, and Love, who came to basically ask these city council people, these human beings, stop trying to kick me out in the street. I'm not doing anything to hurt you. And so I showed up. I gave a little 2-minute speech. That clip went viral. And the beauty of that is on when I tweeted it and posted it and so forth, I put the names and the contact information, the email and phone numbers of the mayor and all of the city council members, so that the millions of people that saw it can let them know what they think about what they're doing. And so what we most recently heard is that there's been a pause on enforcement and that they're working with Pastor Moses to let him continue doing what he's doing. So cyberbullying the government works, folks. It works.
Dox the government anytime you can. I guess it's not really doxing.
It's not doxing because it has to be public information. Yeah, I didn't get their home addresses.
These are the kinds of stories that just make you so angry that these things happen, and people who just get a little bit of power just want to abuse it.
Yep.
All for money.
For money. They're literally doing this. I mean, if you got to think of the mindset of someone who probably considers himself a Christian. This is, you know, Gastonia, North Carolina. I'm sure everyone up there considers themselves either a Christian or some kind of person of some kind of faith. They definitely think
of themselves as good people.
Yeah, they certainly think of themselves as good people. Yeah. I'm sure they kiss their kids, their grandkids at night, and I'm sure they're active in their communities and so forth. And then they get behind that you know, lectern, they get behind that desk, and now they put aside the respect that they typically show for their fellow human being in any other capacity of their lives and do horrific things to them for money and the ability to get reelected. And it just shows how skewed that perception is of what they get to do, both from them and from the voting public, on what someone gets to do when they're on the other side of a government lectern, as though that somehow removes their duty to have a certain decent amount of respect and non-aggression towards their fellow human being.
This reminds me of, do you know who Cole Ebel is?
Yes, Cole Ebel, yeah, in Tennessee.
Ebel, sorry, yeah. So Ebel, he owns a few businesses in Carthage, and he was on the city council for a while. Started posting the budgets and everything on Facebook, which I thought was awesome, transparency. But there's a new fight that he's working on, which is basically, so the city of Carthage basically created a government entity that now runs the town events in competition with the volunteer committee that's been doing it for 20 plus years.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And they're basically now not going to permit the volunteer community to do like Halloween night and things like that.
That's
it,
right.
Has to be done by the government entity.
They want money.
It's insanity.
The government is always a monopoly.
Yeah.
You know, it's nuts. And what's crazy to me is that you can take this story you're telling, remove the specifics of the story in Gastonia, and it sounds like what the government does all the time.
Everywhere.
Like they're always trying to help. They're trying to help. It's for your safety.
Yeah.
It's to, you know,
protect the public.
It's for your protection.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they make everything worse. They get rich in the process, or they get more money in the process for whatever their budget is. And in the meantime, people are being hurt.
It is a protection racket with extra steps. It is, this is a great community guy here. Be a shame if someone was to have a crisis and need to fix it. Like, I mean, it's literally, that's what it is. And in my little 2-minute speech that I gave, I said, you know, it's very clear why you're doing this. Like, if you allow this man of God and his congregation to fix and prevent a homelessness crisis, then people are going to start turning around and wondering what the hell they need you for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the reality of it. I mean, full disclosure, I'm an anarchist. I'm an anarcho-capitalist. And if we are to live in a government, then it should only exist to protect our lives, rights, and property, and so forth. But the reality is, government is a monopoly on violence. It imposes itself the same way that a mob does. And it has the same level of the pomp and ceremony that it creates, and the badges and the titles and everything. But all that is just to hide what it is at its core. It's a bunch of people who in no other capacity of their lives would do this. Because they're in this specific role that they've created for themselves or has been created for them, they claim to be able to rule over you, to take from you whatever they wish, and to order you around and to create crises or make them worse so they can get even more money and put you in a desperate situation so that you rely on them. They're worse than the mob.
All under the guise of for the good of the people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the biggest scam going.
Yeah.
So the people in this town specifically and some other ones, are you getting a good response for libertarianism? Or the other thing I want to ask is, does that matter? Does it matter if they are libertarians, if they do libertarian things
exactly
all the time?
Exactly. That's what I increasingly talk less and less in my capacity in with You Are the Power. I talk less and less about ideas like property and rights and non-aggression and liberty. I talk about respecting individual human beings. And here's the reason behind that. I can explain that to a 5-year-old and they'll get it. I don't care if someone identifies as a libertarian. I don't care if they identify as the exact opposite of a libertarian. If they are routinely showing up with us to fight on these causes and to fight for an expansion of freedom, or at least a reduction in infringements on our freedom, then they're doing more good than 90% of the people out there calling themselves libertarians, frankly. I mean, they're actually out there doing work. And so I would much rather have someone who is activated, excited, and ready to move on to the next thing and to continue to fight until we win on cause after cause after cause than someone who, you know, fully, completely gets the Rothbardian ideas of anarcho-capitalism and doesn't do shit. I'm perfectly honest.
I've never read Rothbard, and I'm just going to come out and say, I'm sorry, okay? I think we just lost half the audience.
No, I want to be clear about something. I consider myself a Rothbardian anarcho-capitalist, and it's good to have these principles. You know, faith without works is dead. If you have these principles and you aren't doing anything with them other than, you know, calling people stupid on the internet, what are you doing other than making enemies? How are you spreading freedom?
As I get older, I stop listening to what people say, and I just look at what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and like I think the one of the greatest examples is like, especially in this day and age, all, you know, a bunch of people are talking about how they're going to leave America, which is great. I mean, I think they should, but they don't do it. And so it's like they
clear.
They say all these things, but then there's no action. Whereas, like, you know, you see actual Cubans, they find a stick,
yeah,
and float across, paddle, you know, 90 across, miles, yeah, of, yeah, ocean,
yeah,
just to get to a little bit of freedom,
like, and risk getting deported actually, when they get here and still do it. Yeah,
who actually, yeah, yeah, who actually believes and what they say.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so. If you want this country to be less free so much that you'd like to leave, and then you don't, you're not helping us here. So, you know, but go on orbit. You know, there's one-way flights, yeah, everywhere, yeah.
Okay, so what's next for you? How big is this movement right now, You Are the Power? Are you focused in, you know, the area, North Carolina, around there a lot?
We focus on the causes that we find. We work on a lot of causes where all we have to do is put up a post or,
okay,
beat them up in the comments.
Because travel a lot, so I don't know if you're just going around cutting viral clips for people all the time. Or
No, I'm doing that as well. But yeah, the reality is, like, I'd say 2/3 to 3/4 of the causes we win, you don't hear much about it because we really just have to beat them up once on one of their posts and they back, yeah, right off. Gastonia is one where they're kind of entrenched. But to answer your question about how we're growing, to put it in perspective on the strength of the work that we are doing at You Are the Power, I got invited to go to Australia for 11 days and speak to Australian libertarians in Parliament in 2 different states. And I found out while I was there that we've been told a lie about Australia. The reason that they went from having the worst lockdowns in the developed world to nothing. nothing is because the Australian Liberty Movement grew by leaps and bounds in a very short period of time from just a few dozen people who were protesting every day and getting beaten up by cops and going out the next day and doing it again to over 350,000 people going to places like Melbourne and Sydney and saying, this ends now. And that Liberty Movement is per capita far bigger than anything we have here and has been incredibly effective in making sure that something like the COVID regime never happens. And in fact, they even have elected libertarians in Parliament. And so when I went there, we had some great conversations. We made some great connections. And long story short, we are in the process of opening an Australian chapter state by state of You Are the Power.
This reminds
That's
me,
so
I,
cool.
I wanted to get the scoop here. I heard that you were considering announcing you running for office in Australia. Is
yes.
that the case?
Yeah,
you
at the end of one of the workshops, we had an incredible workshop, hundreds of libertarians from across Australia and New Zealand. We're actually sitting in Parliament on July 4th. I was in the heart of the monarchist beast, just a few matter of feet away from the sovereign's chair, which has a little, only the king can sit in it, and it has a little sign on it that says, please don't sit, and the scepter's there and everything. But anyway, we're sitting in there, we're doing this workshop, you know, there are people on Zoom, there are people in person. And at the end, I go, you know, it was midnight Eastern time, July 4th. And I said, you know, it just became July 4th back home. And I can't think of a better time than the time that we commemorate our Declaration of Independence from the Crown. And I couldn't think of a better place than right here in the center of the Crown in Australia, surrounded by some of the most incredible libertarians on the planet, to announce that I am seeking the Libertarian Party's nomination for Prime Minister. I'm not leaving. And it was funny because as I'm like, because I was doing it real slow and drawn out, and their eyes are getting bigger and bigger, and then I say Prime Minister and they start laughing. But what was funny was how many of them were like, hope that I actually meant it, and yeah. that I would actually become a citizen of Australia. So, I mean, listen, I go where I'm wanted, but we shall.
Okay.
For lease at the very
least. For your love, not for money.
Yes. Yeah.
For love and adoration.
Just for, yes. yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's,
I can use the money too, though. I mean, I'll take money, yeah.
Most people think, like, I think we have it so good still in America. I mean, I know, comparatively, that most people still think, like, oh, that'll never happen, you know? And then it starts to happen. And I think in Australia, it was way worse. But even in America, you saw people coming out and being like, okay, this is enough. You know, like,
the way you can increasingly encroach on people's freedoms is that frog in the boiling water effect. You have to do it slowly, 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 slowly. Here, the COVID regime kind of was a little bit too much of a jump. In Australia, it was like, you know, going straight to boiling and just throwing the frog in. It went from, you know, Australia having pretty, you know, pretty chill cops and you know, letting people do their own thing on a day-to-day basis to being way more brutal than our cops are during those types of situations. And telling people they can't leave their houses after 7 p.m. And when I say leave their house, I mean go outside on their own property. They weren't allowed to do that. And if they did, they had to wear a mask and all this nonsense. And they went so far to that extreme that the public bucked back and said, no, we're not doing that. And, I mean, you literally had soccer moms storming Parliament. You had everyday people that, you know, a few weeks or months prior were just normal everyday people trying to live their lives, keep their heads low, and you know, build something for their future. They were storming police barricades. And it was just, they were done. They were absolutely done. And when I would go to these events and I'd say, you know, who here has always been a libertarian? And like two or three people would raise their hand, not including me, because I haven't always been a libertarian. And I'd say, all right, who is here because of the COVID regime? And like almost everyone would raise their hand. That movement grew almost overnight. And it was absolutely incredible. And I am hoping to bring that energy that I saw in other parts of the world back here. Because the fact is, they're already queuing up for whatever the next thing is. The next excuse to take your freedoms and to impose something upon you. And use it as an excuse to print out trillions or tens of trillions of Fed notes to pay off the cronies that put them in office. That's all coming down the pike, and only we are going to stop it. No one's coming to save us. We have to be the ones to save us.
That you are the power.
That's not right? saying that I'm Spike Cohen, and you are the power.
.net.
Actually, .com, too. We have .com now.
Okay.
What's cool about that is, mate, is that...
cheers, mate.
What's cool about that, mate?
Crikey.
The You Are the Power actually is, it played out in Australia, is what you're talking about. Because,
pretty much.
Because people have to realize,
yes.
once you get enough people, you realize how little power the government actually has.
Power.
Like, you get just a few people together, and they'll back off.
Yeah, look at Jan 6.
No, listen. A guy I met over there named Topher Field, he was one of the first, you know, few dozen people out protesting routinely, and he got to be there for the triumphant final protest that put an end to the thing. And what he says, you can't limit government until you limit your obedience. And put another way, there is no such thing as government power. There's only what we're willing to tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that even a relative, you know, minority of us, in their case, just a few hundred people, were storming police barricades and saying, no, you're not going to kettle us. No, you're not going to tell us we can't go outside. No, you're not going to tell us that we can't go to our houses of worship or visit our loved ones or you know, reopen our businesses or go to work or go to the grocery store or whatever. Even just a few hundred people saying that, it became impossible to enforce. And at that moment, the rest of the public went, oh, we don't have to do this anymore? It doesn't take, you know, we talk about the 3%. It doesn't take 3%. It takes like 50 people.
People.
Like 100 people, 1,500 people, whatever. It takes a relative, like, you know, nothing, infinitesimal number of people compared to the larger group to show the other 99.999 whatever percent that, oh, yeah, no, I guess we don't have to do this anymore. They can't enforce it. They can't make us all do it. So we have to all storm Area 51.
Exactly. What they day? Can't, they what literally day are we going to do it?
Yeah. What was it before? We'll just do it a year, however many years
the next
later.
Day. Yeah, like the end of the world date. It's just going to keep changing.
Right. Yes, exactly. You know.
All right, we got to wrap up.
The end of the Mayan calendar.
Got to wrap up. Spike, what was the website again for people to get involved? And by the way, I got to say, the Twitter, you just crush it on Twitter all the time.
I appreciate it.
I can't retweet your stuff hard enough. I wish I could hit the button even harder than
like
I do right now.
Super retweet?
Yeah. They should be... Elon, we got to talk. A paid retweet for someone as a subscriber, you put like a couple bucks behind an ad, basically to boost that post.
You pay a dollar.
For someone.
You pay a dollar, and when you retweet it, it goes to all. It goes in the. You get push notifications to all of your followers. You have to look at this. It won't let your phone.
You cannot.
Lock your phone until you look at this. No, listen, if you want to get join the fastest growing liberty movement in the planet at this point, I guess, go to youarethepower.com. We'd love to have you be a part of it. You can find me on all social media, Spike Cohen, pretty easy to find me. If you ever get lost, of course, just go to the ATF Facebook page, look for their most recent post, and there you'll almost certainly find me.
All right, y'all, thanks for listening to our talk with Spike Cohen out there at Freedom Fest. We'll be right back after the break.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.